Bible, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Well, I tell you what, it really amazes me. Been reading through and kind of studying this, and I've read this book probably as many of y'all have, dozens and dozens of times, and how much I miss, and probably how much I'm going to miss this time. How much the Word of God is so deep and rich. I guarantee you, you could take this little book and devote your life to studying it. When you come to the end, you know what you probably find out? There's so much that yet to be learned. So much yet to be learned. All right. We looked at verses 1, and we got down to verses 11. That's as far as we've gotten so far, and verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, and the glory and praise of God. And we looked at, how Paul, his attitude towards people and how he was encouraging them to have this attitude of being thankful for one another. And how our fellowship, and how we need to have fellowship, and how what our fellowship ought to be in. It's not to be, our fellowship is not to be in this world. It's not to be in the things of this world. It's not to be in sports. It's not to be in fishing and hunting. And that's all right. You can do all that. But our fellowship is to be in the gospel. And it is meet for me to think this of you all because I have, in verse 7, to think this of you all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And we are to have that attitude through the week that, boy, I mean, if you like me out there in the workplace, I got one person that I work with that I can really fellowship in the Word of God. I got others I can talk to about the Word of God, and they know a lot, but there's no real fellowship there with them. They know the truth, they know what's right, but there's no real fellowship, and they have left off hearing, and that's kind of what we're going to look at. About hearing, and let me go on. For God's my record, how great I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, and you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. How is it we're going to be without offense? By the things we approve, and that the love of Christ will abound in us more and more. And then we'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, and the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out into the furtherance of the gospel. Now he's gonna talk to them a little bit about supper now. That's something that we don't know much about here in the United States of America. But it's coming. I believe it's coming. I believe it's right around the corner. I believe it's going to get worse. Hey, stuff, when our town halls and our county commissioners, you can't pray in Jesus' name without being sued. When like in places like in Canada, these people came out of Christian backgrounds as well, when now they're going to have you arrested, and there's been a lot of preachers up there that have been arrested and put in jail because they stood, took a position about this thing of I don't even know what to call it, sodomy, okay? And they've taken a position against this stuff, and they've been arrested and put in jail, been a lot of, this ain't the first time this happened. A lot of y'all remember the fight on the Christian school. Here at Gospel Light. I know, brother, I know you know But they were after us, wasn't they? They would have to shut her down. They didn't like. They were scared of Christian schools. It was taking money out of the pockets of the county schools.
Right.
And that's what it's all about, because you see, they get so much money per child. How many of you got enrolled, that money goes into their budget. They don't get that money if the child is not enrolled. Now, I'm going to tell you that the teachers wasn't really involved in this. But those who were pulling the money strings was involved in this. And, buddy, they want to have control, and they still do. I'm a little bit nervous about some of the things they wanting to do. I think it was a big mistake for our churches to surrender the public schools over to the state. I think it was a big mistake. I think we should have stood, took a position, said these are our children. They will be taught the Bible. We will have, all of them don't have to, but our children will be taught the Bible. They will have the opportunity to pray and stand up and say, we are going to demand it. And buddy, every time they had a meeting, buddy would be right there in their face. Amazing, amazing the things we say that we are for, that we won't fight, won't take a position, won't really take a stand. One woman, and quote, millions of Christians rolled over and let her have her way. Something's wrong there. It tells me something. God's hand was in that. Seeking occasion against this nation for their hypocrisy. God will do that. Right here, I'm going to read quickly through the rest of the chapter, and we're going to go back to Amos. We're going to look at some things over there. Listen, he says right here, that we understand, brethren, the things that happened unto me have fallen out into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ Jesus are manifest in all the palace and in other places. Notice this, and many, didn't say all, did it? It says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. And we still got that going on today. Some people preach the gospel for several reasons. The gospel is preached by people. Some of them do it for money. Some of them do it for money. We know that, do we not? I mean, we got preachers that are in it for one reason. For the money. It's a job. They make money doing it. And I don't care what denomination you pick, you're going to find them there. They're hirelings. So you're going to have them, some in preach Christ, of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Some of them, you know, don't like one crowd, so they'll get up there and preach, and what they're doing, they're actually preaching against another group. When I got saved, I was in a United Methodist church. I never heard bad stuff there much about the church, of the churches. They just didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? They just had something that they did not do. They had a lot of things wrong, but that's one thing they didn't do. But I was looking for a church that was working, that was getting the gospel out, and I ended up at Gospel Light Baptist Church over on Airport Road. And the gospel was going out. People were being saved. But you know what? After I got there, I never heard people, churches really badmouth one another until I got there. And then I heard a bunch of, you hear them, badmouth the Church of God crowd, Okay? They got a lot of problems. But then, in her own right, the Bible says, beware by biting in the fire unless you devour your own self. So, it won't be long if you find something wrong with this crowd, it won't be long you'll start finding something wrong in your own. And there were three major groups that I saw in independent churches when I was there. It was the Bible crowd. It's the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Dave Reese was one of the guys that come to my mind. Dave Reese. And that crowd, that crowd, Right Division. Now, they were the most sensible of any of the groups I've met, but it was emphasis, Right Division. And they had their group, you know what I'm saying? They had their crowd. And there were some things that they went off on a tangent on that wasn't good. Then they had another group. It was soul winning. Soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. Jack Kyle. Different men, you know, to emphasize that. And then there was a Sammy Allen crowd. Separation. Biblical separation. Dress right, talk right, act right, do right. You know? And those three didn't get along. Not really. And that division God hates. It won't be long if you got division. It won't be long. Jesus told it, did he not? He said, you get division, you'll fall. If the devil is fighting the devil's house is going to fall. And if God's house does not have unity, if there's not unity in a church, that church is not going to stand. We need to do everything we can to extinguish anything that would bring division in our church. Paul said, some preach of contention. There's his. One preach Christ's contention, not sincerely, supposing that affliction to my bones. But the other of love. I mean, I've heard it, boy. I've heard it. It was real bad. You know, different schools, different Christian schools around the area. Man, I heard that no matter. They didn't go. They're gone. They're gone. I remember, I hear them talk about Sheep's Memorial, more like they were a bunch of dogs over there. Different ones. You know, God has not called us to that. I'm all for, every one of those things. I'm for biblical separation. But with love. The Bible says, speak the truth with love. I'm for soul winning. I mean, I'm for soul winning every day. Every day. You look for opportunities every day to be a soul winner. To give out the gospel, I'm for that. And I'm for right division. I'm for all those. I'm not for dividing the thing, the camp. I'm not for getting in camp. And then it got to the point. They was at the church over there. They got to be division in our church. This church. Got not in their little camps. There's one group, I ain't gonna say who they were or anything. They making light of it. They said, we're that bunch of righteous vipers. That's what they said. That bunch of righteous vipers. You know? They could sit there and find out what was wrong with everybody else in the church. We had split too, didn't we, Brother Larry? Church divided can't stand.
I don't know how many families were asked that one year. Over 50. I kept counting. Over 50 in one year. Nothing.
chip on their shoulder. No, not really hearing the Word of God. Look at what he said. What then? Notwithstanding, he said, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Look at Paul's attitude. Okay, this crowd out there, they trying to stir up trouble. Guess what? I'm not going to give them no trouble. I'm going to do like Jesus. But when they took him out there, he was a lamb before his shearer dumb. He opened not his mouth. And Paul said, let them do what they're going to do. I got a God in heaven who's going to take care of that. I'm not going to stir the pot and make the thing work. And that's what part of our problem is. We try to fix everything, and we can't. And he said right here, he said, I want to rejoice. Whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What's he saying is going to come to his... What is it? It's going to turn to his salvation. His attitude. His attitude. That's what was going to be his salvation. He was going to keep himself right with God. He wasn't going to get all bitter. He wasn't going to get all caught up in this junk. He was going to stay right where he knew he needed to be, which was what? Preaching the gospel. Loving people. Letting Christ have his way in his life. Being a peacemaker. Trying to keep unity. And those that, hey, you don't think he wasn't going after those people? Of course he was. He was going after them in love. That ain't the way we do it, buddy. That ain't the way the Independent Baptists do it. I mean, we'll get up there and publicly get up there and get a couple newspapers fighting each other. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I ain't lying, am I? Couple of newspapers attacking each other. What's wrong with them? Why didn't he write something about what was right about them? They were preaching the gospel, the same gospel. People were being saved. Why didn't they talk about what was right about them? Why didn't they encourage them? We can't do that, though. We got to prove ourselves. Like Brother Joe said time and time again, you know, hey, why is it we rejoice when our neighbors fail? Huh? Stepping stone makes me look better. When that crowd messes up, we think it makes us look better. Hey, we ain't very smart. Ain't the one that matters. And that's God, and he knows our intentions. He looks right down into the heart of the matter.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
It don't make no according to my earnest expectation, my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. That word what? Know, understand, you know. He said, I don't know yet. You know what? And that's the attitude we need to take. We need to take, I don't know how I'm going to respond. I'm just going to try to yield to God and let him take care of it. Here's a lot of people tell you. Well, I tell you, buddy, go ahead and know what you want to do when it comes. You can't know what you want to do when it comes. I've heard preachers get up there and say, buddy, you need to make up your mind right now what you want to do when it comes. You can do that if you want to, but you don't know what you want to do when it comes.
Amen.
You ain't going to know until the pressure's on. I tell you what you better do. You better tell God, like he did. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you one thing, though. I need you, because if I don't have you, I'm going to mess up.
Amen.
like I'm going to, by my own determination, I'm going to make a stand against the devil. Have we not forgot what the Lord told Job? Lay a hand on him. Remember the battle. He said, you think you can take him? Do you think that this church in our own strength can stand against this world system that Satan has built and that God has given him authority with? No. We need to do what God said, humble ourselves. And in due season we shall be exalted. Because only God can do that. No, Paul, he's got enough sense to say, hey man, I don't know what I'll do. I don't know because it ain't come on me. He said, for me right now, to live is Christ. And I know that to die is gain. Do we not know that? But how are you going to respond when death comes? I'll tell you how most of us respond. We'll dig and claw and everything for one more breath. What most of us will do, just be honest. But I one thing about it, I can know this. I know this in my the die is gain. It's far better. But you come in my house and attacking my house, you better hope I don't get to that 12-gauge shot. I'm just being honest. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation, your behavior, your speech, your attitudes be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. And that's the only way you're going to stand fast. That's in one spirit. And that's His spirit. Striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you, listen to this, man, I said this over and over and over and over and over, and we better lay a hold of this. Brother Ed, you read it out. Read it out loud. Verse, I thought you would follow me. Verses 29. That's a gift. He can't give it to many people. He can't trust that gift with many people. He trusted it with Job. He's trusted it with some good Christian people over the years. He trusted it with Paul. He trusted it with those 12 disciples. He's trusted it with some men down through the ages. I'll never forget reading about William Tyndale. And old Tyndale, he cried at his death. He was terrified. But God gave him a gift. And he never turned away from it. Never turned away from it. He never quit translating that Bible. He never quit promoting that Bible and getting those Bibles out in the English language. He never did. The threat and afraid, he stuck with him to his death, and they killed him. They poisoned him to death. He was a hated man. Why? It wasn't him they hated. It was God they hated. They hated God's word. God's word exposed them for what they were, and they wanted to destroy that word. With that in mind, look here. He says right here, for he is given not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. See, he was living out that. I have been given faith. I believe. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if anybody, it should have been an evident token, it should have been in him. A man who persecuted the church. A man who was in high position in religious circles. A man who had to give up everything that he had in this world. Follow Christ. And from that moment on, he was persecuted and he suffered. The very words he told old Ananias, he said, I want you to go down there and they're on that street called Straight. There's a man down there praying. He said, who is it, Lord? He said, it's Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. This man, he's been having all these people arrested. This man has gotten letters to come down here to arrest people and have them put into prison and executed. Lord, he has done much havoc to the church. He's persecuted your choice believers. He said he prayed. Let me tell you something. Prayer starts with God. I don't care how much. Hey, may you get down on your knees and make them do your little mumbles. I mean, I don't care how them old nuns and get, you know, three or four times a day and getting their little things and mumble their little prayers and Mary and those priests and whatever. I'm going to tell you something. If it ain't God that's moved on them to pray, it ain't nothing. It's not prayer. It's heathenism. Nothing but heathens. God said he prayed. For the first time, Paul was praying. Oh God, what do you want me to do? God, show me what you want me to do. I'm listening. Are we listening? He said, I'm listening. He said, oh, Anna, no, I now. I said, okay, go. So he went down there. He said, I want you to go there and tell him what great things he must suffer for my sake. He's our apostle, you know. We're to share in his suffering. Paul said that I may know him, the Lord Jesus. Paul said I may know him. The power of the resurrection. Then he comes in and says, the only way you can know that is through the fellowship of his suffering. His suffering, not your suffering. Christ has suffered for us. And now we're to enter into his sufferings. His sufferings. The sufferings of Christ. The things that he suffered. What is that? You know, the hatred this world has for him. The persecution that is been put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul said, I've been given part of it. That's the only way you're going to understand the power of his resurrection. When you enter into that fellowship of his suffering. Take your Bibles now, turn back to the book of Amos. Amos, chapters 9. Look at Amos 6, 1 through 7, and 7, 7 through 9, and 8, 1 through 12. And we looked at how that rather than God's people having the fruits of righteousness in their life, they had the fruits of unrighteousness in their life. And there was judgment upon them because of that. And God was telling them, said, you're not going to escape. Chapter 9 is coming down to the end of this. And I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel on the door, and the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away. He that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. Though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search, take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it will slay them. I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land. He's talking about the land of Israel here. He's talking about the nation of Israel here. Judgment. Jacob's trouble. Great tribulation. That's what they're in right here. God. Judgment upon that nation. To destroy them? No. To purge them. Keep reading. And it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn. It shall rise up wholly like a flood. And Jesus told him, he said, y'all say the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. Like, oh, come, day of the Lord. He said, you don't even know what the day of the Lord is. It's mourning. It's blood. It's judgment. God is going to judge you. Don't you understand? He said, oh, the Lord is our God. He said, no, your God is the devil. No, God is our Father. He said, no, your father is the devil. He said, but ain't the people of God? They sure were, too. We're all here.
Amen.
Everything belongs to him. The devil belongs to him. The devil's children belongs to God. And he will do with them what he chooses. And though they go into captivity before the enemies, hence will I command a sword, it will slay them. I will set mine eyes upon them for evil, not for good. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land. It shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn. It shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He then calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Caphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful nation. And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. Here's the hope. This is the only hope. This is hope for the whole world. This is the hope for Rowan County. This is hope for Gospelite Baptist Church. This is the hope for our families. Right here. Listen to what he says. I said, behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom. Look about you. You don't think it's a sinful kingdom? Cut your television on for a little bit. Is this not a sinful kingdom? Walk about. Look around you. Is this not a sinful kingdom? And he said, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. Like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. We say that evil shall not overtake us nor prevent us. I'm telling you that evil is going to overtake us. Have you not read? Have you not read? God said, He said he would overcome his people. Have you not read that Antichrist will overcome his people? They will die by the sword. I'm talking about of all nations during that time of great trouble. He said it's coming. That evil time is coming. Bible says we're to redeem the time. Why? Why are we to redeem it? Why are we to make wise use of our time? Because the days are evil. The days are evil. It ain't going to get better. The Bible says it's going to do what? Wax worse. And we need to take this to our heart and understand that, hey, look, we're not going to turn the tide. We're not going to stop this from happening. I like more something J. Vernon McGee said one time. He said, buddy, he said, this earth is a one dirty fishbowl. He said, we're not here to clean up the fishbowl. We're here to do a little fishing. We're to look at the situation we're in right now, and we're to make a difference where we are. We're to be like that little boy walking down the beach with them thousands of starfish. And buddy, and look, you're not going to save them all. The man standing there, that little boy picking them up, throwing them out in the sea. He said, what difference do you think it's going to make? Look at them thousands of starfish. He said, well, it makes a difference for this one. It makes a difference for this one. We're to make a difference where we're at.
Amen.
Do what we can.
Amen.
We're not the judge of the earth to do what's right. He knows what's going on. He knows everyone out there that will be saved, and he's going to reach his.
Amen.
So let's do what we can.
Amen.
Let's be obedient to what God has given us. Hey, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And I'll tell you what, if suffering's going to turn you, then it ain't going to get done. Because suffering is going to be part of it. It always has and always will be. If there's very little suffering in your life, it's because the Bible says you're sowing little. Because, buddy, you're giving yourself to the work of God. I mean, the enemy's going to come after you. You sow much, you're going to reap much. You sow little, you're going to reap little. And the devil does not want to wake you up. So if you're not doing nothing, the devil ain't gonna mess with you. Just stay asleep.
Sleep.
He'll say, sleep. Oh, you're good. Church is wonderful. Yeah, stay in church. Yeah, stay in church. Be still though. Don't get excited. You know, it's all gonna be over for a long, so don't worry about it. I say get excited.
Amen.
I say get away.
Amen.
Our families stand in the balance. Our friends and our neighbors, the people we work, they're in the balance. And we're going to give an account one day of what we've done in the Lord. Notice this. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. Notice this is what God's going to do. We can't do this. This is what God is going to do. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name. All the heathen that are called by my name, the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. And the treaders of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That's coming. But guess what? You got to go through to get there. Judgment. That day's coming. You say, the plowman will overtake the reapers? Yeah, it means that they're constantly fruit being produced. Constantly. It's going to be coming out. It's going to be a great time. Get excited, folks. The day is coming. But it's not here yet. It's not here yet. Plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land. They shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord God. Hey, that good day's coming. That good day's coming. That good day's coming. Look here in chapter 8. But here, look at this. Verses 11. It says, behold, the day's come, saith the Lord God. I will send a famine of the land, not a famine of bread, nor of a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They shall swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth. In the manner of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall and never rise up again. I'm afraid that's kind of like where we're at right now. We know that tribulation is coming. But he said, there's coming a day when there's going to be a famine. Not a famine of the Word of God. A famine of hearing the Word of God. Jesus said, ye that have ears, let him hear. Hey, did they hear him? He warned them, didn't he? Over and over and over, but they didn't hear him. We're living in a nation, sometimes it seems like you can get out there and you can talk and you can talk and you can talk, but people won't hear. Hey, you just got to tell somebody else. I don't mean you quit telling. You just get out there and preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. It's not time to quit. It's time to charge. It's time to charge. What time we got left? I don't know about you. I want to end up on the battlefield. I want to be going for God when God comes again. I want to be giving it my best. I want to be like one comedian said, buddy, when Jesus comes and said, and we get caught out here, as I want to be close enough, I can grab two sinners by the collar, and as we're going up through clouds, he says, are you saved yet, or did all that go? Amen. Amen.